I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends His Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, welcome. It's great to be back with you on Tuesday. Very happy camper on Monday, and came in and prayed a special blessing on our new president and vice president and his cabinet. And I would ask all of you to pray for that as well, to continue to, that God would continue to watch over them and bless them and protect them, not only them, but their whole families. And also on Tuesday, I don't know if you remember or if you were listening, but I also said, you know, this is a time we should really, really and truly be praying for healing and reconciliation in our country. You know, we once again need to remember not much was accomplished when a country so divided. But again, this president did receive an overwhelming mandate, and I pray that he will be not only a peacemaker to keep peace in our country, to keep us out of wars, to, you know, the whole aspect of peace, but also that he might begin to work with the people on the other side of the aisle. And that's what we have to pray for our country: healing, reconciliation. I do believe this can be a golden age. Golden because I really do think that man, two assassination attempts, I happen to believe that he absolutely was saved for a time such as this. I know he said he was saved. He felt he had God's hand on him, protecting him, and he saved him to make America great again. All I know is I believe that he had his hand on him to spare his life for a time such as this. And I always say, for every president, and believe me, it's been a long time since we've had a Republican president in for a while. And so I absolutely prayed for every, I'm not so much Republican as and Democrat. I'm for the people of God, for the people, all peoples of this nation. And I believe in my heart and soul, I am a conservative. Certainly pray for every president that I didn't vote for at all and disagreed vehemently with most of those administrations. However, I don't think they led us into a good place. I think they led us into a crazy time in this country. And I think it's almost unbelievable to me that someone would have to take a pen and sign something into rule to for the United States of America that from this point on we declare we are we have two sexes, male and female. I mean, it's unbelievable that we even had to make that statement. Any logical person knows God created man and female. There's two sexes. He certainly wasn't defining in any way, shape, or form anything else. Or he was saying simply men and women, male and female. And for the love of God, if we can't figure out who's a man and who's a woman, this common sense would tell you that to take a child and you know, cut their body parts off, and at a time when they can't even make a decision, then because they feel they are a boy or a girl, and the parents would like a boy or a girl other than what God gave them. I mean, this is crazy. Never in my wildest dream in my life in all my days did I think in the United States of America that this would even be something we'd be talking about. So to me, that I think we've been led down a crazy path. And, you know, good is evil. Evil is, when I say for good, it's called evil. Evil's called good. It's a terrible time. So I'm praying, and I hope you pray and join me in this prayer, that regardless whether we're, Democrats, Republicans, that we can come together and begin to work across the aisle, to begin to reconcile, not agree with everything between parties, that's fine, but you don't have to see eye to eye on everything to walk hand in hand. You know that from your own personal relationships. So again, I just praise and thank God that we will come together. And to pray, I prayed for every, like I said, every single president, whether I liked them or didn't like them, whether I agree with their administrations or totally did not believe in them. I always prayed for them, that they would receive wisdom, God's guidance, and that they would be led, all of them, for our country to be respected, to be a party of believing that we're better than this, than all the fighting and the ritual and the hate and all that, that we could come together and begin to pray for unity in our country, to respect each other, to communicate with each other, and to be able to come to some agreements for the betterment of our country. So I ask you to join me in that. As I said, you know, I can go on, I do a lot of flying around in different countries, different, you know, states. And I trust, get on that airplane. I don't even know who the pilot is, anything about him. But I pray every time and commend that trip from beginning to end into God's hands. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we and Our Lady of the Highways and Skyways, that she will lead us safely to our destinations and back home. I do that every time I fly or whether I'm on the ground, driving somewhere. Because if that pilot, you know, he could be the worst person in the world, the greatest person in the world. But if he's not a good pilot or something happens, if he goes down, we're going to go down with him. And many of us have seen that in different generations. So we need to pray for this president. You might not like him. Obviously, you know, so many people crossed the line and came over and voted for him that were against him before. But the bottom line is, so many people still don't like him. But the animosity and the hatred, the vitriol, I mean, just he wasn't even in office but an hour, and all the comments that came out were coming out were a disgrace. Picken, their son, Barron, apart and everything. A young teenager, a young man. That's an abomination. You know, all the things that they say about him and this, that, and the other thing, Melania, tear her apart. Let's just pray that we don't like some of the things Trump says. Oh, I'll say I don't. But I love him as a president and what he did before for our country, and I believe what he can bring that country back to again. I believe that with all my heart and soul. Every time I pray about it, and I think it's a time that we really need to realize where we're at this point, at a time such as this, all that's going on in the world, the fights that, you know, the wars that we're fighting on all different sides. These are treacherous times. But again, these are the times that God feels it's us in these days and these times, and he's called us to live and move in these times for his honor and his glory, and that this country might return, truly return, to one nation under God. If we don't have God in our country and in our hearts, call him whatever name you want, Jesus, Father, our brother. Bottom line is, he's the creator and he's the father of all, the scriptures say. And if we don't have that as the center of our country and the center of each of our own lives, then we will not succeed. I guarantee you. We can take a part in history right now that if we come together and join together and work together, and that we begin to treat each other with respect, I believe this will be an amazing time for all of us in the midst of the hard times that we're living in. So again, I just want to praise and thank God for each and every one of you. I just walked in the door, but my vest is making a noise here. But I just want you to know that that we have a lot of work to do in this country, and everybody agrees to that. I also know, without a doubt, that God has a plan on for each and every one of us, for each of our lives, and for you, for me, for each one of us. But he also wants us to be a part of joining together in unity and prayer to pray for our country. I want to also, today we only have an hour, I would ask you, I feel strongly about it, that if you'd like to call in, please do so. I want to really and truly, what shall I call it? I want to wake up America. And, that's what I call one of my fundraisers, but I mean, really, wake up America. That we come together in unity for our country to be renewed, restored, healed of, you know, beginning to take those steps to heal and reconcile with one another. So I ask today that, of course, that you would join in that prayer. I also would ask that you know, a lot of times we don't understand and we don't know. We don't know all the details. But let's just trust God. We don't put our, I don't anyway, I don't put my faith, my hope, and my trust in a man, whoever that man might be, whether whoever that president might be. I put my hope and my trust in my God. I place my hope in the Lord who, you know, he is our all in all. He is the one that made heaven and earth. And so I place my trust in him. And I ask in a special way that we should be praying that we will all be one. That's the desire of the Father's heart. He pleads in the scriptures. He pleads that we might be one, Jesus says, that we might be one, Father, as you and I are one, as in the Spirit, in our being the triune God. God says, it is me. It is me, he says, that every family on earth takes its name from. Our God, our Creator. And he tells us from the earliest times that they will know we are Christians by our love. And boy, we haven't been very loving. I mean, parents and children and uncles and aunts and friends, relationships have been destroyed over these last couple of years. That's not of God. We got to begin to pray for one another to heal us from those divisions. We don't have to agree with everything, but we are called as children of God to be loving, to be respectful of the dignity that lies within each one of us, the living God who dwells within us. Is there evil in the world? Absolutely. And it's running ravagely through the country and through our world. We see that every time we turn on the news, every time we pick up a newspaper, every time we turn on the radio or the television, all the evils in the world. But, you know, I prayed with a woman last night who's so full of fear. And I said to her, I said, you know, right before I went into deep prayer with her, I said, whatever you're afraid of, all these fears and anxieties, God doesn't want you to be fearful. We have to remember that he who is in us is far greater than he who is in the world. And we have to believe that what the Lord tells us in the scriptures, that what he says he means. He doesn't need our opinion, our perspective. He says what he means, and he means what he says. He calls us to follow the gospel. And the best way we can follow the gospel is by living it out. People say, how do you preach, Kathleen, to people that don't want to hear it? I've said this for my 50 years in ministry. The loudest gospel you can preach oftentimes is without words. It's living that gospel out. Living it out so that the people that are watching can look and say, this is a Christian. They'll know us by our love. And yes, we're sinners. We're all sinners. We're all weak. We have faults. We have failings. But we have God in the midst of it. And the majority, I believe, of people are good. I believe that. I really do. I think there's... And the enemy is raging in the world. I believe that. But I do believe that good conquers evil. I do believe that the Lord in these days and these times can bring peace and unity into our families, into our country, eventually all over the world. Is that an optimistic, too optimistic? I don't think so. I know what our God is capable of. I know he's a peacemaker. I know he loved us enough to go to the cross, to be beaten, savagely beaten, and scourged, and drugged through the streets with his flesh torn apart, and then to be crucified on a cross and die, and then rose again, and he broke the chains that held people from the fear of death. He came to redeem us. Not only us, but all those that he created. He came to break sin and the chains that hold us bound to those sins. And so I believe that in him, all things are possible. And I believe that he can speak to our hearts and our minds and our spirits. And for those who don't believe, because they don't maybe see true Christianity, and they'll look at people and, you know, it's why I wish President Trump, and maybe it's me, but I sort of see a softer version of him coming forth. But I pray that he wouldn't talk the way he talks. That's him. He's Trump. That's who he is. But I do believe with all my heart and soul that he loves this country dearly. And I do believe with all my heart and soul that he's growing more deeply aware of God's presence in his life. I believe in redemption. If it wasn't for redemption, I wouldn't be sitting where I am today talking to each one of you. So I do believe in redemption. I've seen him reaching out to different things. I see him trying to reach across the aisle. But it takes two people. It takes two people to work together in a marriage. It takes a boss and his employees to work together to carry out what his agenda is in his company. Them, the people, and the owner, the employer. It takes two to make a marriage work. It takes two to get married, but to stay married, it takes two people willing to sacrifice for the other. So I just ask you today, I know I only have an hour and I don't want to get all caught up, in different things. And I had to laugh. I have my own doubts about different agendas and different people, just like you do. But I can tell you, I thought it was horrible. From day one, I think, as brilliant as he is, as absolutely brilliant as he is, Elon Musk, I mean, if you ever watch him, he's always had jerky motions, and he's brilliant as he is. He's like childlike in a lot of ways. He jumps up and down and doesn't speak well when it comes to speaking to the people. But I myself have said to you right over the airways, I put my hand on my heart always, right? And I say, I love you, and I mean it. That's what he was saying. They cut off the voice of him saying it, but he was saying in his crazy way he does, he put his hand over his heart, did I love you? I love you. How many people, they do it more, in a much more smoother way, but to say he was saying, hi, Hitler, I mean, God have mercy. We'll never get to be healed and reconciled if we can't at least hope for the best in others, if we don't believe that there is good in all, God cannot corrupt evil. It's already corrupted. So he can only corrupt good. And then it's up to us how much we yield to his grace and his power and his love in our lives when we have free will. So I'm going to take this call. I wasn't kidding when I said I'll open up the phone lines. Hi, Bob. Bob? Hello? Bob, are you there? Are you sure this is line one? Bob?
Yes, dear.
There you go. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, dear. I am so happy to hear your words. And right away, as you started talking, I thought of St. John Vianney. When they put him at ours, you know, there was nobody to preach to. He just opened the doors and preached from there. And eventually, the confessionals were filled 14 to 16 hours.
That's right.
And Metagorgy is filled with conversions and vocations.
Yep.
So, and as you said, you know, like, I have no fear. I have a God.
Amen.
I just believe in the power of God and the power of the rosary and the power of prayer.
That's
you know? And the joy of God just is like a heart burning with love. And it's just, that's why I feel so blessed. And you're one of my blessings.
Thank
so God
you.
Bless you and keep up the good work. Anything I can do, I'll be glad to.
I might hold you to that, Bob. Thank you very much.
Yep. It's a guarantee.
Okay, I'll count on it. God bless you, Bob.
Thank you.
All right, bye now.
Bye now.
Well, my brothers and sisters, sorry for my, I don't plan anything. I come in and I speak from my heart. And I tell you all the time, I say I love you and I mean it. And I just wanted to say, because so many times I've said this to you, I love you. I'm certainly not doing a high Hitler of a man that was despicable. So let us be a little general, a little gentle, a little slow in reacting. Maybe we need to respond, not so much to react. And I think that happens in families all the time. You know, even having disagreements in our own family, it's not even political. Right away, we react. We're already thinking about what we're going to say to disagree with somebody instead of listening what they are saying and then responding to it. And that's what has to take place in our country. We must begin to be better communicators. We must be willing to sit and to talk and to share from both of our perspectives. People say, Kathleen, you're really a good listener. I try to be a good listener, but I can tell you this. If we're not listening, we're not really interested in what the other party saying. That's the bottom line. If we're not listening, if we don't give them a chance to share what's in their mind or their thoughts or their heart or their perspectives, we don't have to like everybody, but we are called to love everybody. And in loving, we're called to love as God loves. He listens to us. He tells us, come to me, all you who are heavily laden, all of you, heavily burdened, come to me, and I will give you rest. He wants us to come to him. He wants to listen to us. He wants us to speak with him, to talk with him. That's the way love works. You love one another. And I think that starts with the family. How do we heal the world when we can't even heal and love one another in our families, our friends, our parishes, our people that aren't from our denomination, aren't Catholic. Oh, we got to take a break. Be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
I want to also remind everybody, please continue to keep John Roche is his name, Father. Dermot Roche is Father. He's half in this, 1 foot in this world and 1 foot already in the heavenly kingdom. So I ask you to pray for the continued prayers that I've been asking for the family of Father Roche, Father Dermot Roche, for all his siblings and his beautiful wife. They're so cute the way they're, even now, Maureen, his wife, will say, I love you, John, and he'll say, I'll love you forever. And now his eyes weren't even open for several days, but he opened his eyes today. And sometimes you have that rally before God calls them home, and I would ask that you would pray for healing for their hearts. They're a beautiful, faithful family, obviously, and I pray that John has been suffering and offering that suffering up. He's not even taking pain medicine now and offering it up for families and marriages, and he said he can't do that without also the priesthood, praying for the priesthood. And, of course, he's praying for his family. So please keep them all in prayer. I really believe with all my heart that all love the Lord. I think you and I, we so much want God's healing love in our lives. We want to be able to draw all those who don't know the Lord or aren't walking in the spirit of the gospel, for those who have sort of turned away, and for those who really never knew the gospel. There are still those in the world who don't, and there's still those that are very apathetic to God's word. So I would ask, please, particularly now in these days and these times. They are so urgent. I can't tell you how urgent they are, but they're so urgent. These are the times when our prayers are going to make a big difference. You know, as we come in prayer, Our Lady has told us time and time again to pray, to fast, to go to Mass. So these are the times we're living in, most difficult times. And I would ask that all of us, every single one of us, would remember these days and these times. I mean, this is a Jubilee year. You know, one time they did it every 100 years, and then they start doing it every 50 years, and every 25 years. And we're living right now in that Jubilee year of hope. As a matter of fact, I have such a great sense of hope for these times. I have a tremendous sense that the Holy Spirit is healing marriages that nobody thought could be healed, that He's healing relationships, that He's delivering people in families that have caused them to drift apart, to bring them peace and grace and healing in the midst of all this craziness that's going on in the world. He wants to stir up within them His love, His unconditionally love. If we know that we're loved, then here we are, Lord. That's how we surrender, when we really come to know that He loves us unconditionally. And that's how He calls us to love one another. Let me take this call that's been waiting. This 1 hour goes so fast. Marie, hi.
Hi, how are you? Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you as well.
What an exciting New Year with Trump's election.
Yep. Yes,
indeed. I
just
pray that he stays humble and, you know, our nation comes together.
Absolutely, Marie. That's what the Lord has laid on my heart, too. And I think He saved this man to do just that. And, you know, redemption's a funny thing. People don't mind when they're redeemed. They think it's wonderful. But they don't believe that God can redeem everybody. And that's what He came for. And I think we have to, you know, we can learn the easy way or the hard way. And I'm praying that we can come together to be aware.
I hope so.
Yeah, to pray for unity.
I hope people change. You know, I hope their hearts change, because one man can't do it alone.
That's right.
It's got to be everybody on board, you know, and pushing for the same, you know, to a nation that truly loves God and is fighting for the right causes. So hopefully he can set that spark, and then our country will move forward. That's what I'm praying for.
I join you in that. Whoops.
Well, I have a quick question.
Okay, I don't know what that was, but yes, I am. Go ahead.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
A best friend of mine, we're dating back, our friendship dates back to elementary school. Mm-hmm. And I love her dearly, and her son is getting married. And he sent us an invitation, my husband and I, to their upcoming wedding. And they are not going to get married in the church. They're both Catholic, but they're not practicing. I really don't know much about the bride, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. They live out of state. So is it wrong to go to this wedding? I mean, they know how I feel about, you know, getting married in the church. What should I do?
Is it a relative?
No, it's my best friend. It's
your
like best friend. A best friend from elementary school.
Oh, wow. Well, you know.
Forever friend.
Yeah. You're going to get a lot of different views on that. As many people as you ask might have a different answer for you. You know, we have to love and respect people wherever they're at, but we don't have to agree with them. And if you're going to a wedding, you're going to as a witness. You're going as a witness, and you're sort of saying your amen there. You know, you come as a witness. But
is it wrong to go to the party and skip the ceremony?
You know, I think that would be the better way, where you're just coming out of an act of love for the your best friend for all these years. I would say that was the better side of judgment. But on the other side, like you're acknowledging the family, the love. It's a very difficult situation because if you love people, you want to love them unconditionally. And with Jesus, I mean, he certainly you know, loved all people. And that's what he went out after, the lost, the sinners, the righteous he always has with us. And I think if you can share the truth with her, if she's really a good friend, she'll see you compromising, that she has to compromise a little bit and to realize that you can't go as a witness to that wedding because you don't feel in your heart that it's a proper wedding for two Catholic people to be not be married in the church. But I mean, you would have to voice that. If you have the courage to voice that and say, but I love you, I love your family, and I will come and celebrate the gift of love, and I will continue to pray that they will get married in the church.
I'm hoping to.
Yeah, and if you can do that, I think it would be all right. You're sharing the truth with them. You're not like saying, "Oh, I can't make the wedding. I can't make the ceremony, but I'll show up to celebrate the marriage." Well, then that's wrong. But if you can say just that, you know, I'm not in agreement, so I certainly can't come to that ceremony and say amen. Like I'm witnessing this marriage, which I believe is wrong. And
no, I can do that. And
yeah,
she would
understand.
So well.
Yeah, that's what I would tell you. If you've had a friendship all these years, you want to be true to it, but you want to be true first to God, right? I mean, that's what you know, St. Thomas More told the king, right? You know, I love you. I love the king. And I'm faithful to the king, but above all, I must be faithful to God. And I think if you explain it that way, you're telling the truth. The truth sets us free. And according to church teaching, we cannot witness that wedding. It's like saying, well, you know, people that live together, they can make their own decisions. They're adults like these people that are getting married. But they can't come to your house and live together. Do you know what I mean? You got to take a stand.
Right.
I hope that helps you.
It does.
Good.
Thank you.
Good, Marie. God bless you. Bye, dear.
You too. Take care.
Bye. Again, that's my personal opinion. And but it adheres to church teaching. So, you know, I invite you to call in. God's God, we're not, and we have to try to believe with all our heart and soul that, you know, that God has, he has a plan. He has a plan for each and every one of us, and we really have to trust in it. And that's difficult. That was a really difficult situation that Marie was in, a very difficult situation. But we gotta, you know, share the truth as God speaks it to us. And through the scriptures, through the teaching, magisterium of the church, and, That's the best we can do. We can try to decrease, but yet in love remain faithful to the truth. You know, I often think of Jesus when he went to Martha, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He went to their banquet, and it was full of sinners, and people condemned him for that. God's always about redeeming. He's always about redemption. And he preached the truth. He didn't change who he was, but because of who he was, the people began to change into who God called them to be. And I think that's the importance of our own witness. Jesus went to bring the truth to the sinners. He went to speak his love and his mercy to them, but yet he stood firm in the truth. He didn't compromise. He came for the sinner. But just as he, just as he went there, they tore him apart, in the scriptures for, Pharisees and Sadducees. They like, oh, look, he's eating with sinners. Well, he came to save the sinners. But he wasn't going to sit with them and talk to them without giving them an opportunity to hear the truth. Many of them could have gone, died without knowing the fullness of truth. So Jesus let it be known that he came to redeem, that he came to heal, that he came to restore. But he also told them that we have to be true to God's word. You think about where Mary came to that dinner. On the outside of the place, they probably ate sort of in and out on the, like a patio. And she loved the Lord, and she came to him with tears in her eyes and washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair because she knew what it was like to be redeemed. She knew she was redeemed, a big sinner. They didn't think she could be redeemed. She was called her a prostitute, a lost woman, and yet she was redeemed. She accepted and received that redemption. Some people don't. She did. And she was so grateful that she came and wept at his feet in thanksgiving, that he had set her free from a life of sin. One of the things he said to her, remember this, he said, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Don't continue in the path in which I found you. I'm redeeming you. I'm healing you. I'm setting you free. Many times there's people in our that we walk with, we talk with, we see them. Sometimes they're in our family. They just can't square their lives away. Maybe they're into drugs or alcohol or promiscuity living in or have a lifestyle of same-sex attraction or, whatever. People cheating on their wives and wives cheating on their husband. All kinds of things go on in the world. It's not easy to be a Christian, and it's certainly not easy to be a Catholic Christian. But that's who we're called to be. We're called to believe in redemption. And those that heard the Lord, they wanted to get rid of her. But he allowed her because he knew it was a grateful heart that came and knelt at his feet. It was a heart full of gratitude and love, for she knew she was redeemed. She knew she was saved. and she was forever grateful. And so she turned away from the way she was. You see, we all need redemption. And hating those people because we don't think they can be redeemed. We think they're despicable. That helps them stay the way they are. But we're called to love them where they are. We're called to believe in redemption in their lives and in our lives. And we're really, once we've been redeemed, we're called to be part of that healing gift to offer others. Come and see. Come and experience the power of my love. Come and see that I can set you free from any sin. I'm the sinless one, the paid the price for you and every other person on earth. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. I came to redeem you. I came to heal you. I came to sanctify you from the inside out by giving you my spirit, the spirit of love between me and my Father. And there's no sin so great that God can't forgive. No sin so great that God can't forgive. If you think there is, then you're more concerned about self. That's a lie from hell that people say, I'm the worst sinner. I can't follow Christ. I'm not good enough. I'm a sinner. I'm living in sin. Well, so was everybody else who he redeemed. That's why we have to take people at their word that they believe that God is in them and moving through them. We have to trust that, you know, when we see like people caught up in drugs and all this, you know, all these strong chains that want to hold them bound, we got a Redeemer, boom, that wants to break those chains and set all free. And we can't keep looking at where they were in the past. Oh, he's nothing but a drug addict. Oh, he's nothing but a drunk. Oh, she's nothing but a sleazeball. Oh, this person's the dumbest person on earth. They'll never get redemption. My gosh. And we're called to do the opposite. When somebody finds the Lord, they're not going to be where you are. Maybe they're not going to be where I am. But they're where God found them. And he loves them too much to leave them in the sin. And he wants to work in their lives. That's why we say it's so important to tell your story. Tell your story how, hey, you were here. And you remember where you were and where you are now. That God redeemed you, gave you new life, put a new song in your heart, took away the feelings of anxiety and fear and doubt that you're not good enough. You didn't meet your father's bar, or your mother's bar, or your wife or your husband's. You know, you thought you couldn't get to that. Like you just would never meet the mark. But the truth is, that's a lie. It always was a lie and it always will be. Scriptures tell us we are beautifully and fearfully made. We're in God's image. We're in God's image. And that's what the enemy wants you to forget. That's why he says you'll never be able to be what people think want for you. You know, might as well stay in sin. You've tried a million times and you can't break this sin. I can't wash away your sins. But I got a friend who can. And his name is Jesus. And he wants to break all those areas in all those lives that are so broken, feel trapped because they can't overcome their sins. They've tried. They've gone to rehab after rehab. You know, they've sought counseling and, you know, help and different resources, but they're still steeped in sin. Who is the greatest resource? It's Jesus. It's Jesus because he's the only one who's sinless. He's the only one who is sinless. He's the one who always was, always will be. And we're created in his image. And he wants to perfect us. He wants to heal us. He wants to renew us. He wants to restore us. This is a time of great hope. This is a jubilee year. A jubilee year of hope. To put our hope in Jesus. He alone. He alone is our healer. He's our redeemer. And then once we're healed and redeemed, we can seek other resources to help us stay on track, to help us grow into all that he's called us to be, and to look at our lives and say, I'm going to go out and witness to what God has done in my life. I've been hooked on drugs all these years. I've been an alcoholic all these years. I've been in a same-sex attraction life, living it out. But God has set me free because he's the God of the impossible. He's the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the healer of healers. And he has come to set us free. Not for a day or a week, but really free. So that we can go out as wounded healers and show people, I've been redeemed. Yes, I was a horrible person or I did horrible things. But that was in my mind, in my heart. When I turned to the Lord, he sanctified me. He washed me clean. He renewed me. He gave me a life, new life in the Spirit. And I can conquer all things in Christ who conquered my sins to bring me to proclaim and announce the gospel that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's who we're called to be. Not to point to somebody's life and say, oh, he's this, she's that. She was into this, he was into that. They're not Christians. Who do they think they are? We better be careful that we don't assume on God's mercy and that we remember from whence we came. We came, all of us, into grace through mercy and faith in the Redeemer. Brothers and sisters, if you know someone who's away from that personal relationship with Jesus, or someone who just stopped having any relationship at all with the church, come on home, because we're not complete without you, and you are missed. For all those listening today, remember, nobody will ever love you like Jesus. God bless you.